Falun Gong is freely practiced in more than 50 countries, but relentlessly persecuted in China. The peaceful courage of practitioners there has shocked their oppressors and moved the people of the world. While China continues to block information about the persecution, FGM-TV brings you the stories you may not hear anywhere else.
Hello, and welcome to the FGM-TV Weekly News Review on December 10th, 2002. I'm David Tompkins. In this week's update from China, the number of Falun Gong practitioners verified to have died while in detention is 521, with details of three more confirmed deaths received in the past week. Reliable sources inside China, however, put the actual death count in the thousands. In the last 7 days, reports of persecution have come in from 11 provinces and from the city of Beijing. 311 people declared as void all statements they had made under torture and at times when their minds were not clear. They said they intend to continue to practice Falun Gong. Our top story this week, Hong Kong is given a warning by an international human rights expert over its proposed anti-subversion laws. And some of our other stories, a second criminal pleads guilty in assaulting Falun Gong practitioners in front of the Chicago Chinese consulate. Details of 15 more deaths in custody of Chinese officials have been released by the Falun Dafa Information Center in New York. Practitioners are tortured at a trial in Changchun. Christine Loftus interviews Sterling Campbell, a drummer for David Bowie. Citizens of Monaco are introduced to Falun Gong. Voices of support from members of the Czech Republic and the Finnish parliaments. Agence France-Presse reported on December 4th that an international human rights expert warned Hong Kong Wednesday that the proposed anti-subversion laws threaten individual freedoms. Dr. Francis D'Souza helped devise the Johannesburg Principles, which are regarded as the standard for the protection of freedoms in the context of national security laws. She expressed three main concerns about the controversial legislation. There's no question that the proposed legislation threatens individual liberties in a profound and sustained way, Dr. D'Souza told reporters. That cannot but have a highly detrimental effect on Hong Kong as a society. Her second concern, she said, was that if you have a law in the statute books which is repressive, even though it is not used, the fact that it exists in the statute book exercises a chilling effect on the free flow of information. She also warned that once you institute a law like this, little freedoms are restricted here and there, and it is the beginning of something much bigger. Under Article 23 of the Basic Law, the territory's mini-constitution, Hong Kong is obliged to pass laws banning treason, sedition, subversion, and theft of state secrets. Human rights and pro-democracy groups fear that China could use the new law to suppress freedoms, including those of media, speech, and religion, as well as to ban groups such as Falun Gong. The government has issued a vague outline of the laws so far, and many groups, as well as the United States, have urged the territory to release a white paper providing all the details. The exact wording of the legislation is due to be created after the three-month public consultation exercise ends December 24th, and it is scheduled to be enacted in the summer of 2003 without any further public consultation. On November 19th, FGM-TV brought you the story of Zheng Jiming, who pled guilty in the Circuit Court of Cook County in Chicago on November 13th to assaulting a Falun Gong practitioner in front of Chicago's Chinese consulate. On December 5th, 2002, Wang Yujun, a second criminal involved in the assault, also pled guilty. He was sentenced to 1.5 years of probation. Police arrested him early in the morning of November 5th outside the offices of the former Cheng Pao, a pro-Chinese ruling party newspaper. A year earlier, in September 2001, as Chicago Falun Gong practitioners were conducting a peaceful relay hunger strike appeal, Mr. Fang Li, a local practitioner, was assaulted by Mr. Zheng Jiming, Wang Yujun, and another person. Zheng and Wang beat Mr. Lin, who had taken a picture of the men as they were acting in a lewd and indecent manner to insult a female practitioner. After the assault, they further threatened practitioners, saying, "If you report this, I will kill you." Reporting from Beijing, Agence France-Presse quoted the Falun Dafa Information Center in New York as having released details of the deaths of 15 more Falun Gong practitioners. Reporters from AFP contacted police at several detention centers where the practitioners had been detained. Most refused to comment, saying only, "I'm not clear about this." However, a practitioner at the Mishan City Detention Center in northern Heilongjiang Province, confirmed to AFP that one of its Falun Gong inmates had died at a hospital. When asked why, she said she didn't know. The FDI statement mentioned that a 43-year-old Miss Guiying Liu had been detained in March for openly telling the facts of the persecution against Falun Gong to others. After her capture, police tried to transfer her to the notorious Wangjia labor camp, but the camp turned her away because she showed symptoms of hypertension. Liu was instead transported back to the detention center where she died in police custody on October 24th. Authorities secretly cremated her body 2 days later. Mr. Li Hongwei died October 7th at a detention center in northern China's Liaoning province, and family members said his corpse was covered with injuries from torture by electric shock. 60-year-old Mrs. Gay Liu from central China's Henan province was arrested in September, and 2 nights later, she was sent to the hospital where she died shortly afterwards. Police reports claim that the cause of death was related to disease, but Liu's relatives found a deep knife wound in her wrist. Ms. Fenghua Li, a 44-year-old Falun Gong practitioner from Heilongjiang province, was taken into custody and sent to a labor camp for 1 year, where she endured severe brainwashing and later fell into a coma. She never awakened and passed away on November 8th. Li's relatives presented her case to the local court of law, but they refused to accept any cases related to Falun Gong. Ms. Ray Chu Kang was detained and taken to a brainwashing class last year, where she was handcuffed to a tree for 1 week. She later managed to escape, but was again detained in October and went on a hunger strike to protest her illegal detention. On October 27, 2002, police and local officials advised that Kang had died. Police secretly cremated her on the same day, and her ashes were kept in the crematorium. The above were details of some of the thousands of practitioners who have died since Jiang Zemin ordered the brutal crackdown against Falun Gong on July 20, 1999. Deaths in labor camps occur either from excessive forced labor, torture and abuse, lack of adequate nutrition and medical attention, or a combination of factors. The causes of these deaths are routinely concealed and deceptively labeled as due to natural causes in an attempt by officials to escape responsibility for murder. Practitioners arrested for interrupting TV programs in Changchun are tortured in the courthouse during their show trial. An eyewitness account has been received stating that during the trial sessions on September 18th and 19th, the practitioners arrested for interrupting Changchun TV programs with Falun Dafa truth-clarifying information were not allowed to defend themselves in the practice in court. As soon as any one of them attempted to explain the facts of the persecution, they were taken out of the courtroom and tortured. Some of the practitioners were beaten 4 or 5 times during the sessions. After the court adjourned, each one of the practitioners was taken to a different room and beaten with electric batons by 7 or 8 policemen. 2 were injured so badly, one having been shot in the leg by a policeman, that they had to be carried back to their cells at the detention center. Christine Loftus interviewed Sterling Campbell at a recent Falun Dafa Experience Sharing Conference in Philadelphia. Sterling, a longtime drummer for David Bowie and former member of Duran Duran and Soul Asylum, traveled to China last February to appeal for the persecuted Falun Gong practitioners on Tiananmen Square in Beijing, China. He had this to say.
Hi, Sterling.
Hello.
Could you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from and what you do?
I'm from New York City and I'm a musician by trade. I play drums with David Bowie.
And I understand you practice Falun Gong. Can you tell us how long you practice for?
I've been practicing Falun Gong for 4.5 years now.
What kind of benefits have you received from practicing Falun Gong?
Well, physically my health has improved tremendously. Gave up a lot of addictions to drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, and just a lot more mental clarity.
So I understand in February you made a trip to China. Could you tell us a little bit about this?
Yeah, a group of, I think, 60 Westerners went there, and we went to clarify the truth to people in China because they're told that that Falun Dafa is being persecuted around the world, which is not a truth. So a group of us went there to try to clarify the truth to them.
So what sort of effect, what kind of impact did this have on the Chinese people, do you think?
Well, I've had one experience I had when we were arrested, actually. So we went to Tiananmen Square and we were detained by the police. And on a couple occasions I was beaten. And I think, you know, there was one occasion where the police were sending me, one police officer sent me a message through his cell phone saying that that he trusted me and that he thought that his president was a very bad man. So I think through our actions, you know, they saw that we were very peaceful, and even when we were being beaten, that we maintained our calm and that we were very tolerant and compassionate and kind to people. So I think it seemed, in my opinion, it seemed like certain people were touched by it. And like I said, I received some feedback from a police officer, so I thought at least gave them an opportunity to see that this wasn't a bad thing, that it was, you know, was being made out to be by the government.
In China, do they have any opportunities to hear the truth, or is this sort of a significant opportunity for them?
The truth is very blocked by the government. I think they've gone kind of beyond their means of trying to deal with this in a rational way. You know, so many people have been killed and people are being tortured and put in prison. So it's not a very good opportunity for people.
Did you see a big difference when you got home compared to in China, how Falun Gong is accepted here and how it's not there? Could you feel a big change? Less pressure or?
You kind of really understood what freedom was about when you got home, you know, because, I mean, you say that word, it's like, it's an instant trigger to like either being arrested or being beaten, or it's a very big difference.
Thank you, Sterling.
Thank you.
Thank you, Christine, and thank you, Sterling. The beautiful country of Monaco, with its population of little more than 29,000, rests on the shore of the blue Mediterranean Sea, protected by France on its other three sides. DAFA practitioners discovered that the head of the 610 office in Shanghai, Mr. Lang Qing Li, would visit Monaco to attend a conference on December 2nd and 3rd. At the end of November, practitioners from Switzerland, Italy, Germany, and France traveled to Monte Carlo. They demonstrated the exercises at the Central Harbor, introduced Falun Dafa to the passersby, and held a peaceful appeal in front of the Chinese embassy. The largest local newspaper and other media outlets published positive reports, and the following day, many people expressed their understanding of Falun Gong to the practitioners. Two significant letters of support were received recently from the European Members of Parliament. Mr. John Rummel, Vice Chairman of the Senate of the Parliament of the Czech Republic, sent greetings to European Falun Dafa practitioners gathered in Prague during the NATO meetings in late November. Today's world needs us to continually point out the injustice that is taking place, wrote Mr. Rummel, even if it is on the other side of the world and against one single person. It is even more necessary to focus attention on crimes committed against whole communities, whether they are national, political, or spiritual and religious. And the Labour Minister of Finland, Ms. Tarja Filatov, wrote, "The reports of systematic torture, rape, murder, and humiliation of female Falun Gong practitioners are shocking to read. To be a high standard member accepted by the international community, every country, including China, has to respect the human rights of its citizens and also has to specifically protect women who are in a weaker position." The Fulton Public Library in Atlanta held an opening ceremony in the first week of December for the Peaceful Journey of Falun Dafa photo exhibition, which will be held there throughout December and January. Mary Cook, the manager of the library and a Falun Gong practitioner, said the only purpose of this event is to show people that Falun Dafa is good and that the persecution in China is evil. Mayor Shirley Franklin presented an award on behalf of all people of Atlanta to teacher Li Hongzhi, praising him for founding Falun Gong. The award also congratulates practitioners for their contribution to the community. Two Georgia congressmen, John Lewis and John Linder, sent congratulatory letters. Falun Gong practitioners performed a traditional Chinese fan dance, and they sang songs that had been composed by practitioners. Thanks for watching FGM TV, dedicated to breaking through China's information blockade, exposing the state terrorism, and bringing you the truth of Falun Gong.